Another day in paradise. So, I don't know, it was last year or one year we tried an experiment at gratitude at a distance, it was. The man who did these two batiks is Polish. It's Bijak Molski. So we, one meditation, we all sat here. And then I wrote him an email saying if he felt that, and it was inconclusive. So we have to do the experiment again, but not with Bijak, we do it with Anne. And I just get an email from Andrew. Anne is one of the stalwarts of our OBS group, and she works for an NGO. It's an NGO. Anyone know? She organized the Boreal Forest canoe trips last summer, where they had high-profile people doing canoe trips, about 10 canoe trips, different people, to advertise or to make, to bring to public awareness the incredible boreal forest we have in north central, kind of northern Canada. So she's very active in NGO work, and Andrew works for Sierra Canada. So Anne took a sabbatical this year to do more spiritual work, and she went off to India for 3 months, and she was in a car accident, which I mentioned earlier. So this is a letter from Andrew, so I thought we could send her good vibes. And then I'll find out what time it is in Madurai, where she is. Everyone know where Madurai is? Yeah, it's in South India, right?
Yeah, Southwest India.
Southwest India. Okay.
Roughly South India
will do. Yeah, for the Hindus, isn't it? Yeah. And she was in some kind of a Zen center there, of all things. Zen in Madurai. And Jansen. But I wanted to read this email out to you and also contemplate how we can use compassion on the practice, because compassion is obviously a very important part of any spiritual practice. I don't know if compassion can work at a distance. I'm agnostic there. I give it a go. I do these little experiments. But I know for sure when I think compassionate thoughts, it opens my heart. That I know for sure. And I know when Anne finds out that we did this, she'll be over the moon. And I'll send her, try to get her an email, and Andrew. So we know that's a kind of effective thing. But whether it works at a distance doesn't really matter to me. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. So if you have a kind of critical, cynical mind, and we do a practice, so we say we bring Anne into our heart, and we say, may you be well, and then we say, we bring all the suffering in humanity into our hearts, may all beings be well. The logical mind says that's impossible. Darfur, I mean, that's, and your mind just starts thinking, how could that be? I mean, you know, I can't, and what are we going to do anyway? And the mind just starts thinking. So the heart isn't about thought. The thought is about action. So right now, I can't really do anything practical for Anne. When she's back in Ottawa, maybe I can help. So then I can use thought. But for now, the difference between evoking compassion and just thinking things like, oh, what's going to happen to them? Or how are we going to save all beings in the world, logically it doesn't work. So it's not really a kind of logical exercise, but rather it's a heart exercise. Now if compassion takes you to worry or takes you to depression, you think too much about it, then you shouldn't go there. That's not going to be skillful. So in the practices of the Brahmaviharas, which we chanted this morning, you have loving kindness, compassion, gladness, and equanimity. So all four are necessary. So equanimity is the sense, yeah, but life has suffering. It's this way. So there's a sense of acceptance of that. Mudita is also very important, that there's also gladness, that there is beauty. I find like I was telling my friends here, just the aesthetics of birds. I just find birds so aesthetically pleasing. I just stand in my window and watch these, when the winds are blowing, the gulls are just whoosh, going by, and I just find that so very, very pleasing. So there is gladness in aesthetically, but also there's the gladness for the goodness of others. So you can do that too. I can think of my brother's golf trip in Brisbane, and the goal, and he had a great time. Got back, it was freezing, and we had to go back to work. That's another story. But I can actually think of my brother, and I can think, good on you. And I can experience gladness. I can also think of sour grapes. I'm in Ottawa, I can think that too. But I don't want to go there. So we have this capacity to evoke different modes of being, different modes of the heart, and that can be a skill. They are evoked, they're triggered by just random occurrences too. We feel gratitude, or we feel gladness, or we feel compassion, or whatever, but if it's just simply happenstance, it just sort of happens to happen, well, then there's no training. But when it does happen, then to reinforce it, to actually encourage it in different ways. So there's a sense of kindness and compassion. So for those aspects of our consciousness which are tyrannical, the judge, the should-be's, all those inner tyrants who are never satisfied, who will always be critical, and you'll never get it right with that inner tyrant, somehow we have to balance that out. So seeing cause and effect, critical faculty is fine, but when it just is this unrealistic, constant barrage of tyrannical self-commentary, you don't want to go there, and yet it's there. So if we put into consciousness kindness, compassion, if we put those aspects into the mind, then we have more chance of noticing that's just a habit, rather than believing it as a reality. If that's not a strong habit, then we don't have to do that so much. So it's not like you have to do these practices. If the mind has a lot of peacefulness and equanimity and doesn't go off into these kind of negative states, then you might not feel inclined to it. That's fine. But as a power in the mind, it can be very, very wholesome, very, very helpful. Compassion is not an end in itself. In Tibetan, they say compassion is the method. I like that. It's the method. You think, well, if I'm compassionate, that'll be it. That's actually how you do it. And you can see those aspects, because Westerners seem to find that, may I be well, may I be happy, they seem to find that the most difficult bit, which is interesting. So to see that, well, why is that? Why? What is it about the heart that would take such critical positions all the time? And how can I disengage from that seeming reality? And the way to do it is to bring into consciousness any amount of compassion and kindness. So maybe I'll read it. I'll read out this email, and if especially those of you who know Anne and Andrew, if you just kind of bring Anne into the heart, may you be well for a few minutes, and then Andrew for a while, and then maybe like get the feeling of and then bring yourself in, and then toggle between the three. So may Anne be well. You can really, like, if you really know Anne, they're a great couple. So it's kind of quite easy to feel very open to them. And may you be well. If you start to think, well, what's going to happen to her? Don't go there. Go back to the heart. Andrew, may you be well. And then Iridama, may you be well. Because once you get a sense of that, what that open-heartedness is, right? It's the same open heart. You just change the characters on the stage. But make sure you get included, right? That's very important. And then that tone of the heart, and you don't have to really mention people, but then the whole mind has the tone of compassion in it and kindness. And then you just can be with things as they come and they go. Yeah?